Welcome to the September Monthly Prayer Call. This is Cheryl Lee Davis, and I'm the Vice President of Women's Connection with Stonecroft Ministries, and we are glad to be together to go before the Lord in prayer today, as we do every month, and especially today, as it is September 11th and a very significant day in our country, but also especially today, as we believe it's our role to cry out to the Lord on behalf of our country for a variety of reasons. And today, I'm very happy to introduce to you Nancy Sprowls. Nancy's been with the ministry nearly 10 years. I feel like she and I started together a long time ago. And she has served as a divisional field director, as well as right now serves as a pivotal person on our outreach team. You need to know that Nancy loves Women's Connection, and she loves the entire ministry and what God's doing with our hubs. And she is also responsible for the statistics at Stonecroft. So she's the one taking all that information, those stats that you submit to us, and making them make sense to us. So we love Nancy, and we love her love for the Lord. And I'm so glad you're here to share with us. So God bless you, Nancy.
Thank you, Cheryl. I'm super excited to be here. I'm just listening to some of the women come on the line. I haven't heard your voices for quite a while because I have been working on the other side. The other side of our ministry, but I do love Women's Connection and all that God is doing through Stonecroft. So, interestingly enough, my devotion is not going to be about storms. God laid something else in my heart to talk about, but I'm really excited to be able to go into a time of prayer for the women and the nation as we experience all that's happening. But what I want to do before I start is to start out with just in a prayer. So if you would just bow your heads and close your eyes with me on the phone. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the awesome privilege it is to gather together to lift our praises and our concerns and our requests to you. We pray, we welcome you in this time and this space with us, and we just thank you, and we are in awe of you. We pray that you would just open our ears to hear what you would have to say to us today, and that you would be pleased with our request to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So when I was asked to share a devotion this month, I started talking to God about, okay, what should I share? And immediately an interaction came to my mind that my husband and I had with our son a few months ago. He lives in Georgia, we live in Pennsylvania, and we traveled to spend time with them and our new grandbaby. So as we were there, we were there over a Sunday, so we visited their church with them. And during the service, the pastor asked everyone to form small groups and to pray together for needs that they had put on the screen in front of us. So there was a really awkward sense across the whole congregation of who should pray with who. And ahead of us was a young couple that I thought we could probably ask to join in to pray with us. So as I looked at my son, I was expectantly thinking, oh, well, he'll just, tap them on the shoulder and ask them to pray with us. Well, when I looked at my son, I unexpectedly saw, he looked at me and he just had this sheer panic across his face, just like a white-knuckled panic that I didn't expect to see from him. And it dawned on me that he was really afraid to pray out loud. And my husband and I quickly took the cue that, okay, we should just pray together ourselves, and like Chris and Emily, his wife, do what they would want to do. And they ended up praying silently together. But that's been etched in my mind ever since. And it's been a real sadness for me. Like, even when I think about it, I want to tear up. But, here's a young guy who grew up in our home. We prayed together daily. We prayed at night. We prayed when significant things were happening. We prayed when insignificant things were happening. He went to Christian school. He chose to go to a Christian college. And I thought, how can this be? How can our son, who was raised in this way, really have a fear to pray with other people? And I've wondered about that and just question the Lord about that ever since, and talked to a few people, and I just thought, is this the normal response that we would receive from any of our young adults? I just got to thinking about our younger generation, and maybe it's not, but maybe more often than we realize, maybe it is the response that the younger generation has, and maybe even any age would have. So I was reading, I keep the stats for the ministry, so I'm really interested in statistics, but I was reading a recent Barna survey, and it was about prayer. And they asked the question, how do you most often pray? And this was done in 2017, so it's a current survey. And they said that they found out that 94% of people, American adults, said that they prayed at least once in the last 3 months. 82% of praying adults most often pray silently and by themselves. So just think of that, 82% of them pray silently and by themselves. 62% of those people who pray never pray in a group or with others. And only 2% of them most often pray audibly or collectively with a church. And the more I looked at that, the more I thought, well, maybe the experience I had with my son isn't so unusual after all. I mean, we live in a really individualistic culture, and I think that that's influenced many of our Christian disciplines, including prayer. So what was once more communal and corporate is now often seen as, oh, that's a personal thing that I do. But when I look at Acts, you know, when I look at the Bible, and especially in Acts, so what I see the early church doing, that's not what the way that the early church operated. The early church saw corporate prayer, communal prayer, as a really high priority. So I'm going to just go through a few scriptures in Acts that bear that out. So it's going to be a little quick tour of Acts. But in Acts 1:4, we see that Jesus tells the disciples, stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes. And he didn't explicitly say what to do with the wait time that they were going to have, and it isn't really spelled out. But Jesus must have instructed them to pray, because when we look at verse 12 through 14, it says that then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying, which is most likely the upper room that they spent the Passover in. That's not in the scripture, but I just threw that in. And it tells who was present in the room, all of the disciples. And then in verse 14, it says, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So they knew, the disciples knew, when Jesus left them, that they needed to pray, whether instinctively, whether they were instructed by Jesus too, but it says that they joined together constantly in prayer. And then again in Acts 2:1, when the Holy Spirit does come, when the day of Pentecost comes, they're all together in that room. And so what launched this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit? I mean, we know that Jesus said that he was going to send the gift to them, you know, the Holy Spirit would give them power. But that 40 days before Pentecost, we see now, was the time of preparation. And in those days, they joined together constantly in prayer. Without them knowing it, I believe that they were being prepared, that God was preparing them spiritually to be ready for the power that they were going to receive when the Holy Spirit came. They didn't know what to expect. They had Jesus' words, and they knew that something was going to happen, but they didn't really know what. So God will do this for us. He will put times of special prayer and preparation in our lives for things that are coming. Maybe it's revival. Maybe it's a crisis coming in our life. Maybe it's decisions that we don't even know are coming or don't know the full scope of. But he will, and I recently read a story of this from Jim Cimbala, the pastor at the Brooklyn Tabernacle in New York City. And today is 9/11, and so this story is so appropriate because this happened to him the day before 9/11. So Jim Cimbala tells the story of being called to pray that night, the night of September 10th, and that he couldn't sleep. He got up and he began to read his Bible and pray. And he didn't know what to pray for, so he began asking that he be a better pastor, husband, father. And he went back to bed and he still couldn't sleep. And he was up again. And so this went on all night long. He was reading scripture and talking with God throughout the night. And the next morning, he received a call about the attack that had happened on the Twin Towers. And he says that he feels that God was preparing him, that was strengthening him and giving him power so that he would be able to pastor well through the loss of life. He said they lost 4 people from his congregation in 9/11. And all of the grief counseling that he did after that time and probably still going on, and all that came with the crisis. So just as God was preparing Jim Cimbala for what was to come, I believe that God was preparing the early church in those 40 days of constantly praying together for what was going to come with the outpouring of his Holy Spirit. So we see that example of them, the early church, just praying together earnestly and constantly. And in Acts 2, after the 3,000 came to Christ, they talked about what they did. They devoted themselves, which again means constantly. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. And so we see that again, that they were devoted to prayer. And then in Acts 4, we see when Peter and John were preaching and doing miracles and they were arrested and let go, they went back to the upper room, the same place that they've been gathering and praying all along. So what was the first thing they thought to do? Well, in Acts 24, it says that they raised their voices together in prayer to God. And then again in Acts 12, I think you're getting the drift of this, is that it was a major high priority for the early church. In Acts 12, when Peter was in jail for the third time and James had just been put to death, it says in verse 5 that the church was earnestly praying. And in verse 12, it shows that when Peter was led out of the jail and he went back to the upper room where the people were, many people had gathered and were praying. And this was in the middle of the night. This was, you know, in the darkness, the people had gathered in that room to keep praying. And then in Acts 13, we see the launch of the worldwide mission movement of the church. So when we look at Acts and we see the model of the early church, we come away realizing with a keen sense that God wants the church to make prayer a high priority. And I believe that God wants Stonecroft, because we're part of the body of Christ, to make prayer a high priority. I know that I'm probably preaching somewhat to the choir here, but prayer is so important. You know, there's just such a tendency in our culture to see our relationship with God as so highly personal. We think we can just listen on an iPad or worship on an iPad and pray by ourselves, and that's fine. But that's like not what God intends. And we see that beautifully modeled by the early church on how much they were together and how much they were praying. So I want to challenge us, and I'm included in it as much as you are, that we have a great job to do, ladies. You know, we have a new generation of prayers to raise up. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to have to look in another face of a young adult that is panicked when asked to pray out loud. You know, I don't want to look in the face of my daughters and know that they're panicked to have to pray out loud. And I feel like a lot of women, younger women, if we're bringing them on to our planning team, a lot of them may not be comfortable with it, or coming to our prayer connections may not be comfortable with it. They might be timid and scared. But I just want to encourage us to really intentionally think about that with women, that it's not natural like some of us might think it is for women to really be comfortable to pray. So I just want to encourage us to bring them along gently and winsomely and intentionally, to call on the Father with them and just to mentor them in prayer. I think as we start getting older, I'm getting older now, you know, so I believe that God, like, it's one of our high callings as we get older is to model the spiritual discipline for our younger women on planning teams and in our small groups. you know, just praying 2 to 3 people together just to help break the ice. And taking our daughters and our granddaughters and praying with them. I was able to just spend some time with my granddaughter this weekend. She stayed overnight. And as I was thinking about this devotion that I was going to have and just building prayer into my granddaughter's life, my sister lives in Florida, Boynton Beach. So I took that opportunity to say, Cora, let's pray for Nana's Aunt Cindy and her dog Gracie, that God would watch over her and protect her. And so we did that. We did that several times while she was here. And the next morning she woke up and I Skyped Aunt Cindy so she could see who Aunt Cindy was and see the dog. And it really made an impression on her, you know. And so I'm going to talk to her. I talked to her today and said, Cora, Aunt Cindy's texted me and she's, you know, God protected her. And so I just encourage us to intentionally build prayer into our daughters and our granddaughters' lives and into all the young women in our church. And I want to put a plug in here for the Praise Walk. It's coming up on the 23rd, and that is a perfect time for us to take somebody that God's put on our heart, whether it's a daughter or granddaughter or someone at our church, someone new in the planning team that maybe hasn't come to a prayer connection, say, hey, would you like to walk and pray with me and really gently encourage them to just come along with you and walk her neighborhood and help her to feel comfortable with prayer? So I just really want to encourage you to register. Maybe not do it in big groups, but split up. Just do it one-on-one with women so that we can be good mentors to the younger women in helping them pray. So I thought it would be really neat for us as we think about prayer and mentoring in prayer to think about a woman in our life that we can look back on and say, you know what, without realizing it, she mentored me in prayer, whether it's a Sunday school teacher, your mom, your grandmother, or whoever. And I know sometimes, lots of times, we'll just call out names of people that we know that need Christ. And so I thought it would be neat if we would do that just to thank God for these women that have been holy mentors in our lives that have taught us to pray. So I think we're all on mute right now, but if you could take yourself off of mute and we can just take a couple of minutes to call out names of women that have been instrumental in our life, and then I'll just close that portion of prayer and hand it back over to Cheryl. Okay.
Okay, and just as a reminder, push *2 to remove yourself. I think I said it wrong before, so *2 will unmute yourself right now.
Okay, so, dear Lord, we just want to come to you thanking you for the women in our lives that have been mentors to us and have taught us to pray, and maybe we haven't thought about them in a while, but we just lift them up as a thank offering to you right now.
Lord, thank you for Fran Gordon and teaching me to so openly pray. Thank you.
Father, thank you for Jeanette and for Eloise.
Thank you for Alma, Amdahl, and Sharjaka.
Father, thank you for my mother who taught me to pray about everything.
Father, thank you for Barbara and for Jeanette and Marcia and Leanne, who have taught me so very much about prayer.
Thank you for Vivian Weller and Pastor Richardson.
Thank you for Sylvia and Ruth Ann.
Thank you for Barbara and Vijay and Pam and Jan and Mimi and Cinda and Mary and TJ and Barbara and Loey.
And thank you for prayer connections so early in my faith walk. Thank you for my church. Thank you for prayer couplets during the Billy Graham Crusade. Thank you for my friend Sue and my Aunt Joy. Thank you.
Mm.
Father, thank you for this special little chair many, many years ago in Stonecroft, who taught me that prayer does not have to be complicated or fancy. I grew up in an area where we did not pray out loud, and so to hear her pray so innocently to you, Lord, I thank you for that, because it taught me that I don't have to pray fancy prayers or anything. Just talk to my Heavenly Father.
I thank you for Stonecroft Bible study way back when they were Friendship Bible topics and the prayers that were in them, because that's where I began to pray.
Thank you for Millie and Mrs. Sullenberger.
Thank you for my friend Sue, who has challenged me to pray scripture. And now we thank you for the studies that are challenging us to pray your word. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I just want to close this time and thank you so much for all of these names, these beautiful saints who have gone before us and been so instrumental in our lives and taught us what a privilege and what a closeness we can have with you through prayer. And I just pray that all of us on this phone will someday be on the lips of someone else thanking you for helping them come along and come aside with them in prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Wow. Thank you, Nancy, for that encouragement and just the idea that, you know, how thankful we are, but how women are waiting and ready for us to be that woman to them. Wow, that's just like, help us, Lord, to be faithful. So thank you for that. Well, we are going to go before the Father right now on behalf of many things, and I want to list, there's quite a list, but I'll say them as we go along. And I thought we could start by looking back, and especially on this day in our history, and we'll start by praying for our nation. And also, I think we need to pray for our those who lost loved ones who may be grieving today and from 9/11. And then I'll move us forward and we'll start to pray about some more recent things that have happened in our country. But could we just spend a few minutes in praying over our nation and specifically for families who were impacted by 9/11?
Dear Heavenly Father, you be with everyone who was personally impacted by that, or loved ones were impacted by 9/11 activities. They sought to damage our financial center, our government center, and our military center, Lord, and it was frightening. It was terrifying. And Lord, we just pray a protection over our nation. We pray your protection over our nation. It's like no other. And we just thank you and praise you for your watch over us even now. And ask that covering, pray that covering, want to be worthy of that covering. We just thank you, Lord.
Heavenly Father, we think especially today of those who lost loved ones on this date several years ago. We just know that it brings back memories to each one of them, and we just ask that you give them strength and give them hope that such things will not happen. We just pray that we know how to deal with difficulties. Give us strength. Give us guidance and direction when difficulties do come. So I just pray, dear Lord, that these people will be under your entire blessing this day as they remember the sadness they have experienced.
I pray, Lord, for protection around our world, that we will be on the alert, Lord, for any other attacks like what happened in Benghazi. So we just pray for security all around the world at this time.
Lord, in memory of this day, we pray you would light a fire of urgency into the lives of every believer to share the gospel, because tomorrow is not promised. And those who were left behind that wonder why they were spared and their loved one wasn't, reveal to them your plan of what they are to do with their lives.
Father, I pray for the witness of the survivors, and I personally know one became a pastor. The only thing left on his desk was his Bible wide open at the Pentagon, and for others, that one burnt 80% of the body, I mean, who speaks for you, who shares about you. I just pray for every witness of everyone who was injured as well, but not in any way taking away from the hurt and holes in the people's hearts that have lost loved ones. Just, Lord, fill those places as only you can.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray that as we look back on past difficulties and problems, and the ones that are current in our nation today, that we will look to see if perhaps God is, there is a lesson to be learned from each one of them, and how you always are there to help us through them. So help us to always remember that. I pray this in Jesus' name.
And just continuing in this place of prayer, I would like us to now begin to pray for some of the more recent happenings. And I didn't ask Norma to do this, but Norma and Alicia are both here from Florida, and there may be others. Would a couple of you just share with us a few ways that you would ask us to pray? And then we're going to go start with Florida, and then we're going to make our way across the country to Houston also.
Sure. Father, I just ask you to help those who are living in a spirit of fear right now, having seen what happened in Texas and all of that area, and then to experience it here in our area, in Jacksonville and South Florida and all. Mm-hmm. Lord, I especially pray for my own daughter-in-law, who twice has been in South Florida, and their whole, so much destruction to their home, and their whole pool was gone and everything. Mm-hmm. And she lives in a state of fear. So, Lord, I lift up Chris to you that she would lean to you and trust you, and that you would just show her in a special way how much you love her and how much you care about the details of her life. And so, Father, I praise you for what you have brought us through, and we can just keep thanking you, because you are an awesome God. Thank you, Lord.
We know of many groups that are in Florida and also in the Texas area, so Shirley's going to read the names of these groups in Florida. And as she reads them, you just can pray silently with us, lifting up the groups, their planning teams and their leaders, their area reps, their SRAs, their regional reps, the speakers that are connected with these groups. You know who I'm talking about. We're just going to cover these groups and everyone connected with these groups. Go ahead, Shirley.
Northern Palm Beach, Vero Beach, Northport, Newport Richey, Sun City Center, Brooksville, Spring Hill, Tallahassee, Panama City, Cocoa Rockledge, The Villages, Daytona Beach, DeBary, Palm Harbor, Clearwater, New Tampa, Tampa, Brandon, Brandonton, Sarasota, Crystal River, Homosassa, Lakeland, Jacksonville, Mayport, Orange Park, Dublin. Father, I just want to ask your blessings over these, that these groups and their planning teams. And Lord, we don't know how all of these groups were affected, or even if they were affected, but God, just as the woman shared a minute ago, there is a spirit of fear, I'm sure, over many of them, and loss and all of that. And we just pray for your multiplied grace and provision for these women and their families.
Lord, I pray for the victims here in Florida, that you will cover them and anoint our country with your power, and those who wish to harm us may be exposed. And we pray for anyone who wishes to take advantage of people who are in difficulty right now. Lord, you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we know that you're going to use this opportunity to give people a desire to seek you, and may they seek you. We're claiming your anointing over this country, Father.
Yes, Lord, we ask the blood of Jesus over all these women, Stonecroft women, that, and those that they serve, and we just pray that the Holy Spirit will thwart any evil set on harm for them.
Father God, your Son warned us that in this world we would have tribulation, we would have problems, that we could expect that, but that we were to be of good cheer because He, Jesus, had overcome the world. Father, we thank you for that, because we know that there will be problems, and we can anticipate that. We see that in our past. We anticipate that that's what's going to happen in the future, and yet, Lord, we can just be of good cheer. We can rejoice in the fact that your Son Jesus has overcome all of this. He's overcome the world. Others, we think about the destruction in Texas and in Florida. Lord, we're mindful that people have been uprooted from their homes. And Lord, we would ask that as people are with strangers in shelters, that you would give your children opportunities, clear opportunities, to talk about you and to talk about your power and your love and your grace in their lives, such that this would be a beautiful, wonderful experience for some people, even though on the surface it appears to be very tragic. Father, we pray that eternal differences will be made because of people talking about you in the shelters. Thank you, Father, for what you're going to be doing.
Lord, we thank you for all the volunteers that have all our country, and medical volunteers, help everything, Lord, electric companies, and for giving of their time. And we just pray for their safety, and that they will make the relationship between them and the people there, in Jesus' name.
Father, I just want to pray for, Emma Reynolds, our divisional field director in Florida, and the number of hubs that she is part of or that are getting started. And so we just lift up to you Athens and Atlanta, Blairsville, Brunswick, Columbus. I'm getting some cities that are not affected, but you know, Lord. Brayard, Gainesville, Jacksonville, Lakeland, Orlando, Pinellas, I don't know if I'm saying that right, Savannah, and Tampa Bay. Lord, you know all of these gatherings and who they represent, the women that are involved in them. And I agree with Norma's prayer that fear would not take hold, but love would take root, and that the word of the Lord would go forward because of this, and that Jesus, you would be put on display. I want to pray Psalm 121 over both Florida, and now as we move into praying for the Houston area. And Lord, you remind us in your word that when we ask, where does my help come from? You said, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. And I pray these when we would know that you are a God who does not sleep, who keeps his eye upon them, indeed, who watches over Israel, is what the word says, never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. And the sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon at night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over you. The Lord keep watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever. And so, Father, we just thank you for your word, and we're praying the reality of your word to penetrate the hearts of these women in Florida. And now we want to lift up our sisters in Houston. And Shirley, would you read the list of the group in Texas? Well, let's start with the leaders. We have some of the leaders' names in Texas. Maybe just the groups there. Yeah, that would be great. Let's just pray over now. The Houston, some Louisiana, that area.
Lake Jackson, Bryan College, Port Arthur, Corpus Christi, Huntsville, Port Isabel, Lake Jackson, Brazos Port, Bryan College Station, Brownsville, Houston, Port Arthur.
Dear Heavenly Father, I would like to uphold the volunteers that have perhaps been instrumental in each one of these groups and locations of our different groups, the responders who come out and help just because of the love for humanity, also for the first responders and all the many people who risk their lives that they might be saving lives in all of these different locations where our people are involved. In Jesus' name I pray.
Mm-hmm. Father, I thank you that you have humbled our nation, aware of your presence, of your greatness, of your loving kindnesses, Lord, that are extended to us over and above all of the problems that we have faced. Father, I thank you that you're calling for people to express their compassion, that many opportunities are being given for women to reach out to another woman and to help her and to encourage her, and in so doing, encouraging her entire family. Father, I thank you for the gifts of hospitality of precious ones who've invited strangers into their homes and loving family members into their homes, Lord, and giving them a sense of peace and tranquility, at least for a time, for the time being. I thank you for the generosity of our nation. I thank you, Lord, for our elected officials who have donated money. We've also had money from the federal government and from the state governments. I give you thanks for that. But I also want to thank you for individuals who have given to agencies that are reputable, and they know that their money is going to be well used. I thank you for the compassion of people being willing to pack trailers and to deliver food, those that have set up a barbecue grill and they have cooked for people in the neighborhood, for those that have given clothes and those that have given shoes and all of the personal items that people need, especially baby items. I want to thank you for the mothers and the protection that you gave to that mother that had to deliver her own baby because the paramedics could not get to her in time. I want to thank you that you have protected her and her baby. I thank you, Lord, that there will be stories told over and over of the goodness and the providence of God. And, Lord, we will worship you, we trust you, and we thank you in Jesus' name.
And, Father, for all of our hearts are torn to meet the needs around them, that you're calling them to do that, may they trust you to take care of the other. If we do, just pray now that you would care for all the applications and make all the other paths for them, that they would know and have comfort and peace, that you would bring others alongside to help them so that they can reach out in these eternal ways on their hearts to everyone around them, trusting you details of circumstance. We just thank you and praise you.
Father, we lift up Susie Sternstrom as she is our field director over Louisiana, Mississippi, Texas, those areas that have been affected by the floods and are trying to put their lives back together. Lord, we pray for wisdom for her. We pray strength for her. We pray guidance for her as she works with these women to offer just encouragement and help wherever possible. And Lord, we pray for those groups that have been affected there in Texas and in those other states where Harvey went through there, and they're now trying to rebuild and clean up and all of that sort of thing. Lord, again, we thank you for your provision. We thank you for the stories that will come of how you just mightily intervened. And Lord, we just pray for those who have lost so much and pray that your comfort would surround them, that you would just show yourself strong in their behalf to provide for them. You are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. And so, Lord, we just ask for your mighty provision for them and that they would see your hand in the midst of it all.
And Father, with the swaths of these storms so wide and deep, they can't just go to another city and start life again. We just, Lord, I just pray that you make connections among Stonecroft sisters to the whole, across the country. There may need to be new speakers come in from other places to these areas because other people are inundated with some of their own needs and concerns, and maybe some prayer, maybe some, you know, someone to help them keep things going on for you, Lord. And we just pray that you will make those designs and help those connections happen. Yes. Father, those that don't know you, just those connections, Lord, and their desperation and all their trust of all that man has made, their buildings, their electricity, their things, Lord, I just pray that you will reach in and make yourself known through Stonecroft in brand new ways. That hand, that smile, that offering of help, we just pray that you use every single one of them for your honor and glory.
Lord, I just pray that your people, your women would know that you are a God who sings over them, that you are a God who loves them with an everlasting love, and that they would know that you are covering them and you are the same God before the storm as you are after the storm and in the storm. And I just pray that you would give them strength as some may not be feeling very loved right now or might even have a temptation to feel abandoned. And we just come against those thoughts in Jesus' name. And we just pray, God, that you would replace them with the truth of who you are, that you say you are the great shepherd, that you are, when we pass through valleys of deep darkness, that you are with us and that your Holy Spirit is here residing inside of us, Lord. We pray that they would wake up to know that you are within them and that you have not left them. So we just pray for that comfort and that truth to be their portion in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree with that, Lord. And for anyone who is feeling abandoned, take them back to the cross, Lord, where you proved your love for us once and for all. Take them to the cross, Lord, so that they will be filled once again, knowing that whatever our circumstances are, you proved your love at the cross. In Jesus' name.
Father, I'm just so thankful for the sisterhood of Stonecroft and just these women on this call today who have come before you with just their heart's cry, Lord. Just such a model of their faith in you and their reliance on you and their trust in you. And I just pray, God, that you would continue to well up within us the prayers that you want us to pray for our sisters around this nation. Father, I'm just thinking about the other storms that are headed this way, and I believe, God, that you could turn them right around and send them back where they came from. But, Lord, we ask for your will to be done, and we ask for your hedge of protection around this nation, and we ask for your blessing to be on our beautiful nation. And we just thank you, God, that you are the one that fills us with your spirit daily so that we can walk in a manner worthy of the calling that you have in our lives. I pray that these women who've been so severely affected by this storm, that they would see that your calling is right now true for them and that you are living it out through them even amidst this chaos, Lord. And we just ask for you just to bless them now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You know, I like to end the call with a few little tidbits, and if you don't mind, just a couple little things. I think it's not fascinating. It's the Lord's timing that we've come out with this resource called Loving Your Neighbors, because it's all about praying for your neighbors, and I think the Lord is going to give us plenty of opportunity to pray for those right around us and maybe even connect with them in a new and a fresh way. And so I just thought I'd bring that up, and I thank you, Nancy, that you brought up our prayer walk that's coming up on the 23rd. You know, Stonecroft takes prayer seriously, and it is at the foundation of everything we do. And in fact, without it, we better not be doing what we're doing, because we need to be in tune with God, and we need him to be filling us. And so but we're so thankful for that opportunity that we can get together and pray. And before we leave this call today, though, I just wanted to ask if there are any special needs that we can just surround you and pray for you with you about.
This is Tempe Brown. My granddaughter, Summer, is in very, very bad trouble. I won't go into detail, but it's bad. And she needs prayer big time, and her family.
Okay, we're going to pray right now. Lord, we just come to you in the mighty name of Jesus on behalf of your servant's granddaughter. And Father, you said that you would be true from generation to generation. And you hear the voice of your daughter crying out to you on behalf of her granddaughter, Lord. Mm-hmm. And we just claim her as your own. She is yours, Lord. And we just ask, God, that you would intervene in this situation and reverse it, Lord. Turn her heart back to you, her eyes back to you, bring her health to complete strength in you. And, Father, we just ask that you would cause this beautiful daughter to become a witness for you in a way that is almost unimaginable, but with you, God, all things are possible. And so we ask for that in the name of Jesus.
Yes. I'd like to ask prayer for Colleen. She's a girl that inputs all our computer information for Bay Area and Port Isabel, Texas. Just been diagnosed with cancer. Colleen is her name.
Okay, well, one of you pray right now for Colleen. Colleen.
Lord, we do lift Colleen to you. We thank you for her service. We thank you for her love. We just so appreciate all she has done for our Women's Connection Group. And, Lord, we just plead with you for healing. They told her there is no surgery and no cure for this type of cancer. Mm-hmm. But, Father, we do know that you made her. And, Father, that you can heal her. Mm-hmm. And we just pray for your strength, for your provision through this time, and just keep her in your arms, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Sharon from Missouri. I've had a bad hip for quite a while, and the last few weeks has just gotten really worse, and I finally got into the doctor, and I will have a hip replacement October the 10th, but I would like to pray that there might be some cancellations earlier, that because my pain is not good, and yet when I hear of cancer and heart disease, I realize this is not a serious thing, but to me, the pain, you know, is, and so I just would like to have pray. Mm.
Father, we just thank you that you are Jehovah Rophe, our healer, and your word tells us that by the stripes of Jesus we are healed, and so I just pray healing over this hip. I pray, Father, that you would stretch out your mighty right arm and just touch that hip, its socket, that the pain would be eased, that you would take the pain away, Lord, and if possible, that surgery wouldn't even be necessary. But if it is, Lord, we do ask that you would open a spot for her to be able to have the surgery sooner so that she can receive relief. In any case, Father, we just ask that you would be very near to her, that she would, that you would wrap her up close in your presence, and that she would feel that connection with you, Father, in a brand new way, and know that you are very close and very near to her.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? We have a few more minutes, so.
I would like prayer for one of the young women who came to us from prison in our Bible study, Marcella. She still needs help to overcome her problems. Just ask for prayer for her.
One of you,
Lord, I pray
for. Go ahead.
Lord, I pray for Marcella. I don't know her age. I don't know her circumstances, but you know exactly what her needs are, Lord. You know the background that she comes from. You know the influences that have been in her life that have caused pain, that have caused just issues with even how she thinks, Lord. And so I just pray that you would free her from this, Lord, put her in a situation and around people that can speak life into her, that can just help her find the freedom that she has in you, that she would realize that she is enough, Lord, that she is loved by you, that she is known by you, Lord. And I just ask that in the days ahead that you would just wrap her around with people that can assist her and help her, and that we would see her move from a state of dependency into independence and be able to make a home and to be out of prison and to be able to move forward with her life, Lord, and that she would totally surrender her life to you, Lord, so that she can see the freedom that you can give her.
I would like us to pray for Pauletta and John Staley. They are on. She is on staff with us and has been battling cancer for some time. And I'll go ahead and pray. Father, we just ask that you would minister right now to John and Pauletta Staley, Lord. You know their hearts and you've seen what they've been through. And thank you, Lord, that you have never left them the entire time. Father, we just pray that when the pain sweeps in, God, that you would be like a mighty rushing wind over that pain, just sweeping it right out, Lord. And we just ask, God, for your peace that passes all understanding to guard and rule their hearts and their minds in Christ Jesus. And we also pray, Lord, that they would reckon and remember verses from your word that are truth about who you are, that they would remember that you are still a faithful Father who loves them and who sent your Son, Jesus, to die for them, that you are the beloved, that they are the beloved of you, Lord. And so we just lift up John and Pauletta to you right now, and we just thank you, God, that that they are yours, Lord, that they belong to you first and foremost, and we thank you in Jesus' name.
Lord, I just pray you would give them some little glimpses of your purposes in their suffering, just enough to keep them going in Jesus' name.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Terry. Well, this has been a very rich time of prayer, and we are going to do this again this evening. And I do encourage you to come back. You know, the Lord takes us in one direction and another direction, but we will plan to pray for our nation again tonight. And if you want to be part of that, we'd love to see you at 7 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock Eastern. In the meantime, next month, which is the month of October, the Lord willing, that first Monday, the second, Beth Fitch will be sharing a devotional with us. and then we'll go to the Lord again in prayer. And we just love you all, and we thank you for your commitment to this ministry and a commitment to prayer. All of you are just beautiful role models, and it's very sweet to be able to be on the phone with you and just to do this together. So God bless you, and be over your day today and everything you say and do, in Jesus' name. Bye-bye, everyone.